Hello and welcome to Winking Cat Tales. Today, the Winking Cat invites you to listen and sing along with the story of Balfour and His Magic Hat by P. Haynes Ainsworth. Music by Terence Alaric Levitt. Not everyone is born wearing a hat.
But soon after we're born, people put all kinds of hats on us.
People wear all kinds of hats for all kinds of reasons.
This is a story about hats and about a boy named Balfour.
Hello.
Balfour lived with his grandmother in a white house surrounded by a white fence. The house sat on a hill overlooking the sea. Balfour loved his grandmother and her house, but he wanted to see more of the world. He asked if he could go on a journey. Grandmother knew she'd worry and miss him a lot, but she agreed to let him go. On the day Balfour left, his grandmother stuffed three of his favorite sandwiches in his backpack, plus some water and cookies. She helped him lift his pack on his shoulders. When he was ready to leave, Grandmother presented Balfour with a special purple hat she'd made just for him. She told him,
"This hat can change its shape to keep the sun from your eyes, the rain from your face, and keep your ears warm when the cold wind blows."
"Thank you,"
said Balfour as his grandmother placed the hat on his head.
If you're in a spot where it's very, very hot and there's no shady place, and the tip of your nose is as red as a rose, and the sunbeams burn your face, stay cool instead. What's on your head can help you with all that. No need to bake like a birthday cake. You've got a magic hat. Just flex it, fold it, tilt it, tie it, turn it inside out. Snap it, shape it, mold it, mend it, twist it all about. Pin it, push it, bend it, button it, pull the sides out flat. Roll it, rip it, curl it, clip it, it's a magic hat. If the clouds of ice aren't being very nice and they're freezing on the ground, and your hands and feet would adore having some heat, but there's none that can be found, don't let the snow make you feel low. Ignore the thermostat. Ignore the storm. You can be warm. You've got a magic hat. So flex it, fold it, tilt it, tie it, turn it inside out. Snap it, shape it, mold it, mend it, twist it all about. Pin it, push it, bend it, button it, pull the sides out flat. Roll it, rip it, curl it, clip it, it's a magic hat. It's guaranteed to meet your needs, your very own magic hat.
"You make it sound like a magic hat,"
said Balfour. Grandmother laughed.
"Maybe it is magic, because I made it with love."
Balfour sighed a deep sigh. He stood tall as he walked out the front door. He stepped down the walk and through the gate and the white fence. As his foot touched the road, he looked back and shouted,
"Goodbye!"
As he waved to his grandmother, Balfour turned and began walking down the long road to the sea.
One step and then take another. Putting one foot in front of the other can take you very far. left or right or maybe diagonal. My path might be square or quadragonal. Now, friends, au revoir. 100 steps or 2 can change your point of view. And who can say what new sights may be awaiting you? 6, 7, 8, 9, just 10 steps away from my door, and things are not the same as before, and this is so bizarre. The world looks very different over here. So many things look smaller, taller, brighter, and more clear. 15 steps from my home address. I'm slightly scared, I must confess, but I must walk on. To learn and to grow, it's good to know much more than when you start. So every step and each new view, I hope will make me smarter. When I return from far away, I won't be the same as I am today. I'll be wiser, brighter, quicker, and more clever than I was before I ever took that first step.
Balfour reached the edge of the sea. He couldn't walk any further, so he borrowed a boat. As the sun was setting, Balfour opened the sail. The wind blew him toward the horizon and a small island in the distance.
The water was calm and the wind was gentle. The boat carried Balfour safely to the shore of the little island. After he pulled it onto the sand, Balfour looked around and saw 2 people who were fishing. They wore very strange red hats with long wings on each side.
"You certainly have a lovely beach,"
called Balfour. The people turned away and tugged on their nets even harder.
"Maybe they didn't hear me,"
thought Balfour.
"The wind is whistling very loudly in my ears, and the sand is blowing in my eyes. It hurts. I think I'll change my hat to keep the sand from hitting my face."
Balfour unbuttoned the top of his hat, which let the wide sides spread out like wings. He suddenly realized that his hat looked a lot like the ones the beach people were wearing. Just then, the girl who was fishing turned and smiled. She waved and called to Balfour.
"Hello, friend."
She and the tall fisherman began walking toward him.
"Hello,"
she called again.
"My name is Tala, and my friend's name is Isco."
The tall person smiled. Tala said,
"Your face isn't familiar, but you look like you belong here."
Isco agreed.
"Definitely. Do you come from the other end of the beach?"
he asked.
"No,"
answered Balfour.
"I'm new here."
The 2 fisherfolk looked puzzled.
"We've never met anyone new, only other fisherfolk."
Now Balfour was puzzled.
"Why did you think I was from the other end of the beach?"
Tala and Isco laughed. Then Tala replied,
"Because you're wearing the same kind of hat that we do. Only people that live on the beach wear this kind of hat."
"Though we can't recall your name, and though you say you're new, we can tell you're one of us. Your hat's the perfect clue. So you see, it's obvious you are someone we can trust. There's nothing to discuss. You are one of us."
Isco's face looked very serious. He declared,
"We only talk to people who wear this kind of hat."
"People who wear a different kind of hat just cannot be trusted,"
Tala agreed.
"With our broad brim hats tied tidily, we stand fast as the wind blows mightily. And we don't budge even slightly. To another point of view,
someone else's point of view,
there are people who look differently. not as smart as we. 'Cause they haven't learned the rules, you see, and the proper things to do.
And they probably smell bad too.
Yes, they probably smell bad too.
That sounded strange to Balfour. He asked,
"Do you really think everyone who wears a different kind of hat smells bad?"
"I don't know,"
Tala answered.
"But I never want to get close enough to find out."
Isco laughed.
"But you don't have to worry about that. You wear the same hat as we do. Come, join us for dinner."
"We're having halibut,"
announced Tala proudly. Balfour's cheeks blushed.
"I'm sorry, but I'm not very fond of fish,"
he explained. The fisherfolk gasped in astonishment.
"But you have to like fish,"
said Isco.
"You're one of us. We all love to eat fish,"
Tala added.
"That's why we live by the ocean."
"We have studied quite extensively. As we've lived for years beside the sea, we have talked and talked and all agree. What our father said is true.
That a person who won't,
or the people who don't,
wear their hats the same as we are simply plainly weird.
Yeah, or they may mean to do us harm or something to be feared. Ha!
So you see, it's obvious there are those we cannot trust. But happily, we can dare to declare that we trust you."
"We do."
"Yeah.
You see now that you have to like fish."
"But I really don't. I'm sorry,"
Balfour apologized. Tala and Isco's smiles disappeared. Isco leaned closer to Balfour and studied him closely.
"Where did you say you come from again?"
asked Isco. Balfour pointed toward the sea and stuttered nervously.
"I came here in my boat from across the sea. I live with my grandmother.
Tala squinted her eyes and said,
"If you weren't wearing that hat, I might think you were one of the people from the forest."
"They're nasty people who also don't like fish,"
added Isco with a frown.
"They wear strange-looking, squished-up hats and live in trees. They pick fruit out of trees like monkeys."
Tala nodded and whispered to Balfour,
"That means they must be hairy like monkeys, too. Their hats fall off all the time because their hair is mossy and damp. Plus, they're always sick."
"How do you know that?"
asked Balfour.
"Because they are so pale,"
replied Isco. He warned Balfour,
"You should stay away from them or you might get sick, too."
His words made Balfour a little afraid and sad.
"It's too bad if they're sick all the time."
Tala shrugged her shoulders, saying,
"Well, there's nothing we can do about that. We don't have to worry about it."
"We're not one of them. You coming to dinner or not?"
asked Isco again. Balfour answered shyly,
"I don't think so."
"Suit yourself,"
said the fisherfolk. They pulled their nets onto their shoulders, turned, and walked back down the beach. As he watched them walk away, Balfour realized he was hungry, just not for fish.
"I wonder what kind of fruit grows in the forest,"
he thought.
"Maybe I should go look, but I should probably stay far away from any of the people who live there, just in case. I don't want to get sick."
Balfour turned away from the beach and began walking toward the dark green trees at the edge of the forest.
The trees got bigger and bigger as Balfour got closer to the forest. Their thick trunks grew very close together, but Balfour realized his hat was too wide to fit between them, so he lifted the sides of his hat up and buttoned them together on the top.
"That should do,"
he declared as he stepped between two tall trunks and into the shade of the forest. The leafy branches shielded him from the sun, and the air felt cool. Balfour saw something hanging from the trees.
"Apples,"
he said, and he started to reach up to pick one. Suddenly he heard a voice from high in the tree say,
"Hello, friend."
Balfour looked up and saw two legs dangling from a nearby branch. A girl dressed in green overalls lightly jumped down. She landed squarely on the patch of ground next to where Balfour was standing.
Hello. I've never met you before,
she said with a smile. The girl's pale cheeks were full of freckles. She had bright red hair under her yellow hat, which looked a lot like Balfour's. The two sides were flipped up and buttoned tight on the top.
My name is Prim,
she said, and held out an apple.
I see your hat is empty. Do you want one of my apples, friend?
Balfour smiled and nodded.
My name is Balfour,
he replied.
Thank you for the apple. You're very kind.
I'm always happy to share with my friends, Balfour,
Prim declared. Balfour took a nibble, then asked,
How can you be sure that I'm a friend?
Prim laughed. She took another apple from her hat and took a big bite. She answered,
Because you're wearing the same kind of hat that I am. That means you live in the forest. It means you are friendly, generous, and thoughtful, not like the people who live on the beach.
Aren't they friendly too?
Balfour asked curiously. Prim sat on a stump and shook her head.
Goodness, no! Have you ever met one?
Balfour started to tell her about meeting Isco and Tala, but Prim didn't wait for an answer.
Neither have I. But I can tell by the hats they wear that they aren't very smart. The sides are so wide they bump into the trees and get broken. That must be why they hate trees and keep cutting them down.
I think they cut down trees to make boats to go fishing,
suggested Balfour. Prim laughed.
That just shows how silly they are,
she said.
Why do they waste their time fishing when they could pick apples from the trees to eat? It's so much easier.
Prim took another bite of her apple. Then she whispered.
I heard they have webbed, scaly feet to walk on the sand, and they have seaweed for hair. That's why they wear their hats all the time.
Balfour thought to himself.
That's not true. How could anyone have seaweed for hair?
Prim was so serious. Balfour tried not to laugh.
But you wear a hat,
he observed.
My hat is sensible.
Prim pointed at her yellow hat and replied,
My hat doesn't bump into the trees. I button the sides so it makes a pocket. It helps me carry home the apples I pick.
Anybody can see that. It's shown clearly to me that you're as clever as can be. One look at your chapeau, son, tells me that you were chosen to be part of our amazing family. Like our fathers before us, we take care of the forest from the smallest to the very tallest tree. Just like me, you protect them from the type of people who wreck them. And it's clear that they are not as smart as we. So you see, it's obvious you are someone we can trust. There's nothing to discuss. You are one of us.
Balfour took another bite of his apple and asked,
How does this forest stay so green and beautiful?
Prim motioned for Balfour to come closer. She pointed at an opening in the trees.
You see that mountain?
She asked. Balfour looked between the branches and saw a huge triangle shape covered in white. He nodded.
It's all because of that mountain. A stream flows from the top and makes sure the trees get plenty of water and nourishment.
Why is the mountain so white?
Asked Balfour. Prim seemed surprised by the question and replied,
Because of the snow.
Snow?
Balfour exclaimed gleefully.
I've never seen snow before. Can I climb up the mountain and touch it?
Prim took a step back. Her eyes grew big.
No, you can't do that,
she shouted firmly. Then explained,
It's easy to get there by following the stream, but there are terrible monsters that live up there. They look like people, but they have a tall horn on the top of their heads, and they walk around pulling even bigger monsters with two horns. Those monsters make a horrible groaning sound. Boo!
The sound made Balfour shiver. He took a deep breath and announced,
Monsters or no monsters, I still would like to go there and touch the snow.
Well, I can't stop you,
Prim said with a shrug of her shoulders.
Although if I were you, I'd stay here in the forest where it's safe. Goodbye, friend. You may need these to throw at the monster.
Prim gave two more apples to Balfour. She turned and quickly climbed a nearby tree. Balfour waved farewell, then began walking along the stream toward the mountain.
As Balfour walked higher and higher, the trees of the forest disappeared below him. The air became colder. Small, soft, white pillows swirled around his head. One landed on his nose. It was so cold it stung.
"This must be snow!"
he exclaimed. A frosty wind brushed by him, grabbing his coat and rustling through his hair. White icy flakes landed on Balfour's shoulder and on his hat. He shivered.
"Brr,"
said Balfour.
"I should pull the wings of my hat down over my ears to keep them warm. And maybe I should pull the top of my hat up so the snow doesn't pile up on top and make my hat all wet."
Balfour unbuttoned the sides of his hat and tied them under his chin. He pulled on the center until it was shaped like an upside-down ice cream cone. He began to feel a little warmer.
"Now the snowflakes can slide off my hat instead of sitting on the top,"
he said. Balfour remembered the words that his grandmother said to him when she gave him the magic hat. "This magic hat will keep the sun out of your eyes, the rain off your face, and keep your ears warm in the cold." Balfour felt his heart ache a little bit. He missed his grandmother, so Balfour decided it was time to go home. Just as he turned to go back down the mountain, he heard the clanking of a bell. He heard the deep voice of a man singing.
"The monsters! They're coming!"
thought Balfour. He leapt behind the nearest rock and made himself as small as he could to hide.
"Hello, and good day to you, friend,"
called a man wearing a tall, pointed blue hat. Balfour peeked out from behind the rock. Standing beside the man stood two huge white monsters with black spots and horns on their heads. Balfour was afraid to answer. The man walked closer and asked in a concerned voice,
"Are you ill, friend? Or perhaps you are cold? You're shaking."
"I'm not cold,"
replied Balfour.
"I'm shaking because I'm terrified of those two giant monsters that you have with you."
The man laughed so hard his belly bounced up and down.
"Those aren't monsters,"
he explained.
"I am Yorka. These are my cows, Daisy and Daffodil."
"Moo!"
"Haven't you ever seen a cow before?"
"No,"
answered Balfour. Yorka was puzzled. He asked,
"If you don't have cows on your part of the mountain, what do you eat?"
"Do you eat your cows?"
asked Balfour innocently.
"Moo!"
The man gasped and replied,
"Good heavens, no. The cows give us milk that we use to make cheese. We eat the cheese."
"Don't you eat fish or fruit from the trees?"
Yorka shook his head.
"Oh, fish don't swim this far up the mountain, and it's too cold and rocky for trees to grow here. The only thing that grows is grass. The cows eat that to make their milk."
"Moo!"
Balfour stepped out from behind the rock a bit. He was curious and asked,
"Why don't you go down the mountain to the forest? There are delicious apples on the trees there."
"We never go to the forest,"
Yorka said emphatically.
"The creatures that live there wear strange yellow hats. They hide in the trees and throw big red rocks at us. It's too dangerous to go to the forest."
"Folks down there cannot be trusted at all, for each hat they wear is flat and way too small. They spend all day hidden high up in the trees, waiting for travelers they can stalk and tease. And I have not seen one ever eat a bite of cheese. Folks down there are decidedly very weird. They don't care for the things that we all hold dear. Pale and mossy and weak are they, and they never dance in the sun and play. Not their way. So I say, if you ever see one, do be sure to run away. Take my advice. Those people are not very nice. They never wear their hats like we do. Plainly they are weird, or they may mean to do us harm and something to be feared. So you see, it's obvious there are those we cannot trust, but happily you can see that we trust you."
Oh.
The cows mooed in agreement.
Moo, 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 moo.
Balfour realized something. He smiled and declared,
"Those aren't red rocks that they are throwing at you. Those are apples. The forest people eat them. You could eat them too if you want."
Balfour pulled the two apples that Prim gave him out of his backpack. He offered them to Yorka.
"I could never eat something that comes from a tree,"
said Yorka firmly. Balfour tried to explain.
"But they are delicious and sweet. I'm sure if you tried one, you'd like it. The cows might like it too."
The cows stomped off in a huff.
"Now you've insulted them,"
said Yorka. Balfour apologized.
"I'm sorry. I didn't know the forest was scary for you. I thought you didn't go into the forest because you didn't want the horn on your head to bump into the tree branches."
Yorka scrunched up his face. He asked curiously,
"What horn?"
"The horn on the top of your head that you keep under your hat,"
he replied. Yorka let out a laugh that echoed across the mountain. He asked Balfour,
"What makes you think I have a horn on my head?"
Balfour felt a little silly and answered,
"Because of the way your hat comes to a point."
Yorka tapped on the tip of the pointed top of Balfour's magic hat and said,
"You have a point on your hat. Do you have a horn?"
"No,"
Balfour replied.
"I made it into a point so I could keep the snow from piling on the top of my head."
Yorka smiled and said,
"Now you understand why my hat has a point on it."
"But my hat doesn't always look this way. I can change it depending on what I need it to do."
Balfour took off his hat. He pushed the point down flat and buttoned the sides together at the top. Yorka studied the magic hat and scowled a little. He stated,
"Now you'd look like the people from the forest."
"I have an idea,"
suggested Balfour.
"You should go down to meet my friend Prim in the forest. We can show her that you're not a monster. And if I wear my hat like this, they won't throw apples at us."
I don't know,"
said Yorka hesitantly.
"Please?"
Balfour repeated his request.
"If you meet Prim, you will see that you have a lot in common. You don't have to be afraid of each other."
Yorka reluctantly agreed. Together they walked down the mountain and into the trees of the forest.
While Balfour and Yorka were making their way down the mountain, two unexpected visitors entered the forest from the beach. They wore wide red hats that kept bumping into the tree trunks. Prim saw them and jumped down from her perch.
"What are you doing so far from the beach?"
she asked them sternly.
"We don't have any fish here. Did you come to cut down some of our trees again?"
Tala and Isco brushed the leaves off their hats and stood up straight and tall. Isco replied,
"No, we came to look for our friend.
He walked into the forest yesterday and has not come out. We want to know what you did with him."
"I haven't seen any of your kind in the forest,"
Prim snarled. She was about to say more when she noticed a tall blue hat moving through the trees. She yelled,
"It's a monster from the mountain!"
Isco, Tala, and Prim froze in place. None of them had ever seen a mountain person so close before. Just as they turned to run away, Balfour stepped forward. With a big grin on his face, he exclaimed,
"Wonderful! You are all here."
Isco stared at Balfour for a moment, then observed,
"You sound like our friend, but you're wearing a forest hat."
"I can change that,"
offered Balfour. He unbuttoned the wings of his hat. They opened wide so his purple hat looked like the ones the fisher folk were wearing. Prim gasped.
"I thought you were a forest person like me. I shared my apples with you."
"Thank you again for sharing them with me. They came in handy,"
said Balfour.
"I tried to tell each of you that I'm not from this island. You were all very kind to me when my hat looked like the one you were wearing. I've seen that even though you wear different hats, you all have a lot in common."
"Well, we'll never like apples,"
shouted Tala.
"We'll never smell like fish,"
barked Prim.
"And we don't have webbed feet."
"We don't have webbed feet."
"We aren't covered all over with hair like some people."
Yorka leaned closer to Balfour and whispered,
"I don't think these people have much in common at all."
"Wait!"
yelled Balfour.
"Don't you see? You all are people. You all live on this island. You all like hats.
Everyone was wearing red, angry faces under their hats. Yorka looked around and said,
I don't think that's enough for us. There's no way I can trust a forest person.
Folks down there cannot be trusted at
we
all.
We take care of the forest.
For each hat they wear is flat
from
and small.
All those who would destroy it, from the smallest to the tallest tree.
See the sea. With our broad brim hats tied tidily.
Anybody can see that.
Folk, they can
stand fast as the rainbow grows mightily.
It shows clearly to me that they clearly
don't budge even slightly.
Not as smart as we.
To another point of view.
Never eat a bite of cheese.
And they probably smell bad too.
Not as smart as
we. We'll be sure to run away.
So you see, it's obvious. You are someone we can trust. There's nothing to discuss. You are one of us.
You are one of us.
One of us.
Everyone was about to start arguing again when a blast of wind swept through the forest. It lifted Balfour's hat right off his head and carried it high into the trees.
Oh no, my hat!
Shouted Balfour.
My grandmother gave me that hat. She made it especially for me. It was my magic hat.
My grandmother made my hat, too. I wish I could reach yours, but it's too high for me to climb.
Prim said sadly. Everyone gathered around Balfour to try to comfort him. The boy began to cry.
I miss my grandmother so much.
Here, you can have my hat, Yorka said as he took his pointed blue hat off his head.
Eek!
Yelled Prim.
What did you do with your horn?
What horn? I don't have a horn. Why does everybody think I have a horn?
Huffed Yorka.
My head is just as round as yours.
Prim blushed for thinking something so silly. Yorka laughed. Isco pulled the red strings from his hat and handed them to Balfour.
Here, take these strings to tie your new hat on your head,
he said,
to make sure it won't blow away.
Tala took off her hat and gave it to Balfour.
Here, take my hat too. If you are going back across the sea, the sun may get hot. You will need the wide wings on my hat to keep the sunshine from burning your cheeks.
Prim took off her hat. She reached up and picked four bright red apples from a nearby branch. She put them gently inside her hat and gave it to Balfour.
Take these. You might get hungry on your journey home,
she said. Balfour smiled.
Now we have something else in common. None of us have a hat.
They all laughed. Prim rubbed the top of Yorka's head just to make sure there was no horn.
Tickles,
he said. The sun was getting low. It was time for Balfour to go home.
Thank you.
Together, they all walked with Balfour out of the forest and down to the beach. The little boat was waiting for him. Balfour got into the boat and waved goodbye to his new friends. They stayed on the beach waving until Balfour was out of sight.
When he arrived home, Balfour's grandmother hugged him tightly. She placed his colorful new hat on the table and tucked him into bed.
Balfour fell quickly asleep and dreamt about the sea and apples, snow, and the new friends he met on his journey.
He was glad that he'd gone on his journey, but he was very glad to be home again.
Taking one step and then another can lead you places where you discover something bright and new. There are others just like you. Special, wonderful, colorful, clever, helpful, friendly people just like me. And you.
You've been listening to Winking Cat Books, Balfour and His Magic Hat. Copyright 2018 by P. Haynes Ainsworth and Terrence Alaric Levitt. If you would like to have a paperback copy of this story or to download the songs from Balfour and His Magic Hat, contact us at winkingcatbooks.com.